brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
Does anything else stand out to you from last week, John?
All of the region champions stand out to me.
Besides that.
You really do have to truly scheme and truly get your kids fully prepared.
We're really trying to get you fired today on the podcast.
Choice D, all of the above.
How do you feel about the beard?
It's not as powerful as it was younger in my career.
Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing so. Large device or small. John here, Hannah there. And this one, we spend some time below the Nat line. We get to catch up with some folks that got region titles, some really competitive environments, and we're almost to the end of the regular season.
So close.
Right there.
So close. So 49 of the 56 GHSA regions have been clinched. We're waiting on 7. 2 number one ranked teams and 4 number twos lost in some shocking games last week. So today we are going to be talking to some of the clinchers.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest question of all lately, we probably beat it to death.
No
is
such
who
thing.
Will win Region 1-6A. We finally have our answer. And we will be talking to the Packers head coach, Sean Calhoun. That's Colquitt County.
Yes.
Who clinched that region.
Mm-hmm.
And Region 3-AA, Appling County won that one. We talked to head coach Jordan Mullis, which is a great conversation. They pulled out a monster win over Pierce County. Well, that's not the score, but the effort was incredible there. And we catch up with him. And who else clinched regions, John?
Well, we have, 49 of the 56 that are done.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have 7 that are going to be decided this weekend. And in a tease for what's happening on Football Fridays, one of those 4 head-to-head matchups that decides one of the 7 regions that hasn't been decided is going to be on our air at 7:30 kick, well, after 7:30 kick Friday night, Hapeville Charter and Carver Atlanta. And we'll probably be spending some time in brackets as well and getting everything lined up for Season 3, which happens in 2 weeks. Not this week, but next week will be the start of the playoffs. Looking forward to it.
So that'll be for the Region 5 AA title. Mm-hmm. Man, AA mm-hmm. has been insane this year.
Yes.
Is that just from reclassification or what?
AA has always been one of the more competitive divisions, but now with reclassification, things get a little tighter, a little bit more competitive. Geography gets into play, and so AA is always tight. This is just the reclassification version of tight competition.
If you don't know like a whole lot about high school football, you always think of the higher classifications being the best football, the biggest and the baddest and the most eyes. But really, man, AA, I think, takes the cake by far this season.
Yeah, I mean, you look at just to give you an example of the new poll in AA, your region champs right now, Carver, Columbus, Callaway. Callaway always goes late with end of the year. Appling County and Pierce, you know they're going to go late. Burke County and Thompson, they're playing this week to determine who's going to be the region champ in Region 4. Carver, Atlanta, Hapeville Charter, that's on our air. Columbia, Rockmart, Biff Parson getting his 100th win this year up there at Rockmart, and then Prince Avenue Christian in that region for what's happening in AA. I mean, you're looking at Appling, Pierce, Carver, Columbus, Callaway, Morgan County, who lost to Callaway for that region title this past week. Burke, with what we're seeing from Franklin Stevens, Hapeville Charter, Rockmart, Carver, Atlanta, and Thompson, they're all there as a part of this discussion. So it is really, you're going to have the angry threes and the angry yeah. fours that we talk about when it comes to seeding.
Yeah, heading back up to 6A, though, we had a fantastic game mm-hmm. on Football Fridays in Georgia. I'm sad I wasn't there. You guys did an amazing job.
Mm-hmm.
Carrollton, still undefeated at 10-0. Recap it for us, John.
Well, it was really tight in the first half. It was 27-21, and then Carrollton put it in the fifth gear, and it was 49-28 final. Juju Lewis, 21 of 26 for 290 and 2. Kamari Farmer, our Georgia Cotton Commission player of the game, 185 yards of total offense, I believe, 3 touchdowns rushing and a 47-yard touchdown pass. So 4 touchdowns for Kamari Farmer as he was our Georgia Cotton Commission player of the game as well.
North Gwinnett still undefeated, beat Duluth 50-7. Buford 9-1. They beat Mill Creek 32-7. Does anything else stand out to you from last week, John?
All of the region champions stand out to me.
Besides that.
No, it's just
Marist and 4A still undefeated at 10-0. Beat Tucker 60-22.
Yeah.
There, I need to look at the how many points they're averaging per game.
A lot, I think.
Because it is wild.
Yes, a lot would be the average. But, I mean, you look at In Quad A, Perry ends up winning that region, and that region's going to be one of the toughest regions around. Perry loses to Warner Robins. Ware County beats Wayne County, but Perry ends up being region champ Benedictine. You want to talk your angry threes and fours? Mm-hmm. That region's going to be an example of an angry three or a four seed getting into the postseason in Quad A.
All right. Well, to continue our AA discussion, let's head to Baxley, where Appling County head coach Jordan Mullis joins us here on the podcast. Hey, Coach Mullis, congratulations, Region 3 AA champs. And I see you've got your winning streak beard growing. How do you feel?
About the beard, about winning, or
yes, honestly, about the beard. Let's start there. How do you feel about the beard?
It's not as powerful as it was younger in my career, but it's still, you know,
it looks great.
Something to be positive about.
Yeah, I mean, you've got it's nice and full, and that's what's most important. And honestly, the beard is way more important than the game. So I'm glad that we went ahead and got that.
Well,
out of the way.
Considering that your husband has a beard.
Yes. So I love a beard.
This is why we start with these really important questions here.
Okay, so 5 wins in a row, coming off the 13-6 win over Pierce County. That was a wild game. Rushers Darian Hood, Tavian Wallace led the ground attack. How were you able to pierce that tough Bears defense?
Pardon the pun.
Glad you got
I think they held us our lowest offensive output all season. So I don't know how much we pierced it, but the kids played extremely hard, and I think they, you know, they had some intent about them during the week about what it takes to win this game, because we're pretty familiar with each other, obviously. And, you know, it just came down to playing as hard as you can and us putting them in a situation to be successful and not lose it. You know what I mean? And we made a couple plays when we had to, and defense just gave us a chance to win.
For those that don't know, how tough is AA football? Because up here in this half of the state, north of the Nat line, it's 5A, 6A, you know, most of the time. How tough is AA football?
Oh, it's a grinder, man. Like I said, you know, I feel like there's some teams in our area, single A and AA, that could play with anybody in the state of Georgia, and 3 of them are on the same road. You know, I think us, Pierce, and Toombs right now are could be a major problem in several classifications. But it's really good, and there's some teams that are down, there's some teams that are up, but you know, there's a lot of really good players around here, and the coaching, you know, in the last 5 to 10 years has dramatically improved.
What have you done off the field to improve the program to have moments like you had last Friday? Is it weight room? Is it hours together as a group? What have you been doing off the field to help to contribute to the on-the-field success?
This could get pretty crazy here.
Let's get wild.
We got time and take.
Y'all don't want to get real wild. No, I'm kidding. destroy. Some of my coaches have destroyed their personal life. We've improved some facilities. We try to feed them together as a group every day. We have long Sundays. You know, we have late nights. We've hired some good people, had some good support. And, probably the biggest thing is, you know, the GPS and the Titan system and things like that. I felt like last year we had a good ball team and we kind of fizzled out, and we're really trying to get Appling upgraded technology wise so we can check player load and injuries and things like that. And that's really given us some feedback that I've been able, I'm not very smart, but I've been able to use that to help manage us a lot better this year. And I think we're kind of peaking at the right time. Whereas I felt like in years past, you know, once we played Pierce week 10, they were able to sustain in the playoffs and we were dead. And, you know, that's been something nice to have. And when we meet our player load for the week, we play pretty well. When the kids are dragging around effort wise, we get our butt kicked, and we've been able to show that to the kids. And I think they're, you know, starting to pay attention to that now.
You said Sunday's your biggest day. Walk me through what a Sunday looks like. You said it's a 12-hour grind. You're watching film, prepping for the next game. What all goes into your Sundays?
We try to grade. We try to grade and get those turned in, you know, by Saturday mid-morning. So sometimes we just stay up here on Friday night, you know. But Sunday, you know, coordinators will come in, you know, anywhere from 8-9 o'clock in the morning. Rest of the assistants will usually come in, you know, after church and just try to get all that information, you know, cleaned up, especially this time of year when you have 10 games on people or 9 games in a scrimmage, and just get it all cut up. You know, we tell our guys, you ain't got to be ready until Friday at 7:30. And, you know, we're nowhere near ready to play today. We weren't ready to play yesterday. We're still sitting down, crunching things down, but just taking that foot long sub, you know, and being able to give it to our guys in little pieces, you know, 15-minute position meeting on this, you know, a walkthrough of this, and then working it all the way down to, you know, what are the one-offs? You know what I mean? Can we line up the polecat? Is Coach Pruitt going to jump in the swinging gate? You know what I mean? But just trying to major in the majors, but also touch on everything. And it's really hard to do. You've got to put all your personal feelings aside and just get up here and sit down and get it all broken up and cut up and then start trying to piece it all, you know, together for a plan.
Because all you did was win a region title up against a team like Pierce, and now your game 10 is coming up against Tucker Pruitt and Fitzgerald, who lose to Jeff Davis. So they're going to be mad coming into this one, and you've got them for your game 10 and their game 10. So, yeah, no rest, right?
No. You know, we finished our last three, you know, with Cook, Pierce, and Fitzgerald. And you can throw Crisp in that deal too. But, you know, two Final Four teams and a state champion to end the season, you know. And like I said, you know, we're a good football team. We've grown a lot. We play extremely hard, but we weren't at the beginning of the year. You know, everybody's ready to cast us out. Major injury to our quarterback. But it's, you know, we basically told our kids, if your intent's not to play a playoff game right now, you know, post-hurricane, that's when our playoffs started, you know, for us.
Two more questions, one for me, because I know Hannah wants to ask about food, and we'll wrap up with Hannah's food question. It's the make that kid an offer question that we always like to ask when it comes to coaches when they come and visit. For your group of seniors this year, is there anyone that would fit that make that kid an offer tag that is too whatever, that isn't getting enough looks that you think they should be getting, or not getting any looks at all for what they've been able to do for the program this year?
Yeah, I mean, I'll get fired if I only call up one of them's name. I mean, you know, microwave society is not single dudes out. No, we've got some really, really good players, and y'all know this, and I know y'all hear people complain about it. We signed, I think, 24 football players out of here the last four cycles. And that's got to do with our kids, and that's got to do with coaches working really hard. But man, this year has been the slowest I've ever seen it, and it's been slowing down. But we got some college football players on this team, and I know they've changed the dates and the recruiting contact periods and all that. They do every year, but it's hurt high school kids. But we've got a wide receiver right now, started for 3 years for us. He's got the best hands I've ever seen. He's playing hurt. He's a long snapper. Kellen Echols, number 88. He's probably got 15, 20 touchdowns on his career here. You know, both of our outside guys can play. The other guy's a track star that's probably going to have opportunities in track. Number 3, Kimani Riles. Our middle linebacker played 100 and, I don't know, he's averaging about 110, 115 snaps a game. Coleman Palmer, number 24, you know. I mean, we just got a bunch of good kids. And like I said, the trauma that we went through early in the year with Ware and DeLand, Florida, has really brought them together. And I trying my best to get these guys an opportunity to play football, because I can tell you, 6, 7, 8 years ago, these guys would already have a bunch of offers. And, you know, I hope that we can, you know, get them out of here and let them keep playing the games. They're definitely talented enough.
All right. Well, John wants me to ask you one more. Last week on the podcast.
Food question.
Last week on the podcast, we asked the coaches what their favorite place to eat in their area is, trying to give some shout outs. So what is your favorite spot in Backfoot?
See, and I thought you were going to ask about the smash burgers and the come on.
Oh, I don't know what you want me to ask.
All of the above.
You ask it.
No, you just did.
What's your favorite spot to eat in Baxley?
Oh, man. Yep. Y'all are, they would be a new guy talking to you here next year, huh?
Choice D.
We're really trying to get you fired today on the podcast.
Choice D, all of the above.
Yeah. B&F's always taking real good care of us at breakfast. Trey Wiggins and his family at Hardee's do a great job for us. And I'm kind of particular to the chicken tenders.
Ooh.
Circle F Meats, if you ever come through here, the Folsom family here does their own meat in-house, you know, the whole nine yards. And, their fillets and the bacon wrapped jalapeno peppers with the cream cheese are pretty spot on. The food, a couple of really good, Mexican places here. There's a few little spots to eat. You got to have enough time to sit down. Yeah. You better make sure you win Friday night before you go out in public.
No doubt. But then legend with the smash burger that you guys got to sample from the 12-hour day? What was the smash burger and the side? What was that one?
Oh, yeah. So our cheerleading coach, my athletic secretary, and one of my linebackers' coaches' wives, Ms. Schumans, Ms. Simmons, and Ms. Katie Roundtree, they cooked for us Sunday, and man, it was a spread. And I got to pick, you know, and I told them, you know, y'all do what you do, but Miss Simmons made some kind of, I mean, I can go get her. She'll have to explain it, but some kind of pig bean thing, kind of like some, like you did at a family reunion. And then Miss Schumans did the cheeseburger, the scramble sliders, which is my favorite that she does. She also does a really good Italian one too, but Miss Roundtree had all about three different kind of dips, and you know, we just ate in here and got sour as crap for about 30 minutes. But it was a nice break, you know, from the eyes scrambling watching tape.
Can you text the recipe this way?
Absolutely. I mean, listen, if y'all ever want to come south, you know, to God's country, we'll have some waiting on you.
Oh, that sounds like a promise. Well, yeah. Thank you so much, Coach, for being on here, for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with us. So we really appreciate it. And congratulations again on the region win.
Yes, ma'am. Thank y'all so much.
Without a doubt, one of the deepest thinkers on the sidelines here in Georgia high school football, Jordan Mullis, region champ at Appling County down there in Baxley. Fantastic folks in Baxley when we do get to come and visit. And now that we have the list of restaurants and things, I'm leaning toward that smash burger myself. Okay. One interview down, one to go. And for this one, we go to Moultrie. We catch up with the champ in Region 1-6A. Time to catch up with the head coach of the Colquitt County Packers, Sean Calhoun.
Hey, Coach Calhoun. Yay! We have finally decided the daunting Region 1-6A. Congratulations on winning. Coach, how does it feel?
Thank you very much. It feels amazing. You know, if you'd have told me in the spring and the summer that we'd have even been in contention towards the end of the season to win our third region championship in a row, I'd have said, hey, I'll take it. With obviously replacing everything we replaced and a whole list of other things, can't be more proud of these players and this coaching staff for what we've been able to do in the regular season. You know, we try to keep things pretty simple around here, football. Two goals, region championship and a state championship, and we were able to luck up and get the first one, and it's fantastic. And now we got to find a way to start that journey for goal number two.
What did you learn about yourselves in those two losses to North Gwinnett and to Lee County? Because I know that a lot of folks were looking at win-loss records and results coming out of South Georgia, and they were like, okay, wow, and then okay, wow. What did you learn about yourselves in season one that got you ready for season two?
Well, we knew when we were putting the schedule together that we needed some really tough non-region games. And the original plan was to go up to North Gwinnett and, you know, just experience that travel, because over my career, you know, I've played big games like that in the playoffs. And if you don't play your best and you get beat, you don't have another week. You don't have a week after that to just kind of regroup and try to get better. So we wanted to try that this year, and we were able to. Obviously, no one really likes to get beat, but we needed to, and we learned a lot from that. And then obviously you kind of fast forward, you know, because people, you know, question and they don't really know, but the combined record of Lee and North Gwinnett is 20-0. Mm-hmm. So they're not bad at all.
No.
But that definitely helped us prepare for our region play, obviously, which is very difficult. And you hope that all these tough games are preparing us for the playoffs.
I think we've talked to every coach in Region 1 6A now just to figure out what is going on. The competition is insane. And last Friday, you defeated Richmond Hill 31-13 with an insane rusher. You had...
There goes Hannah doing math. Well, Look out. What, Deshaun went for 188 and 3.
Yes, thank you. 188 and 3 touchdowns on 12 carries. That's a huge night. Talk about your offense and what was working so well.
Absolutely. So, end up getting our quarterback back, freshman Cohen Lawson. He came in second series of the game. And obviously, you know, he had been out the last couple weeks. And so we didn't know kind of knock the rust off and everything like that. So anytime you can kind of get the running game going and really kind of help out your quarterback, that's always a good thing. And offensive line open up some really big holes, because I want to say Deshaun had a 74-yarder and an 85-yarder, so it was a really good night for us rushing the ball. You know, Richmond Hill is a really, really good defense. And what was crazy about that night is, you know, things could happen that we could have finished the 1, 2, or 4, mm-hmm. and it was just so many different scenarios. But I was so happy that we were able to come away with a big victory on senior night. And then we get back to the field house, and Lowndes and Valdosta are still on because they kick off at 8:00.
Yep.
And so we actually turn it on. Somebody got it on their phone and then did the Bluetooth to the speakers in the weight room. So we're all listening to it. And when we found out that obviously they were going to win, the place went nuts. So it was a cool night.
I was going to say, during your game, who was the designated scoreboard watcher to let you know or not know what was going on in all the other games in the region?
All right. So great question. So my coaches know that I really don't like to get an update, because mm-hmm. Somebody slipped up at halftime and said, "Hey, Lowndes is up 28-7. And I said, "Excuse me." Well, obviously that was 100% wrong.
Yes.
And I was like, "Wow, 28-7. Well, because somebody was updating Max Preps, and it was like, it was a crazy score. Like at one point it was like 40-14, Lowndes was up. So
wow.
Whoever said that, needless to say, I wasn't happy with that. So I don't really care to know many scores because obviously I worry about ours. But now, as soon as we were done, I definitely want to know how that Wintersville Classic was going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Max Preps always trusty on the scores. What has this season been like for you, Coach? Again, my notes are all over the place today.
Where are you going?
It is your third season there with the Packers. What has this season been like for you? It just seems like a special one. You kind of feel light. I feel like you're just rolling this year.
You know, we knew it was going to be challenging. We knew we had a lot of spots to fill, obviously quarterback being one of the main ones, and all of our receivers. I think all of us are better coaches when we're coaching Power Five kids. And, and when you don't have those kids that you can just rely off of sheer talent, you really do have to truly scheme and truly get your kids fully prepared. And it's not that we have in the last couple of years, but I felt like this coaching staff this year has done a phenomenal job. And when you're talking about getting the most out of your kids and truly developing from the scrimmage to now, that's what we've been doing. And, you know, able to come away with some really big wins and just kind of finding a way, and you know, just kind of been scrapping and clawing, and you know, had our chances at Valdosta, and you know, just didn't make that happen. But you know, our kids never got down, and we had two huge wins on the road at Tifton, at Camden, with a backup quarterback, and then found a way to win at home versus Richmond Hill. So just, you know, resilient, you know, tough. That's kind of how we've been this season, and hopefully that's got to continue.
What'd you learn about yourself as a coach?
I kind of go back to one of my years at Collins Hill and Carrollton. Like this year was truly, you know, offensively, like we were trying to gain first downs. You know, there's been different years where you're scheming touchdowns because, you know, you have a lot of different weapons. We're just how you truly have to, how your game planning can change. And we've been more run heavy. We've actually installed a single wing offense, which I've never done before, which has been very beneficial. So just really thinking outside the box when you're limited in certain areas that you truly have to do what your team is built for. And we've been able to do that, and we've been able to implement that. And it's, you know, and it's worked, it, you know, it's worked more times than not this year. So hopefully that can continue for sure.
All right. And now you head into a bye week. Hurricane Helene kind of got us all screwed up here a little bit, down the playoff run. I know we're pushing the season back a week. So what are you going to do during this bye week to prepare for the playoffs?
Great question. So I've never been fortunate enough to have one going into the playoffs. It's always been, you know, game 10 and then you kind of roll in. So I've been talking to a couple coaches and just kind of seeing how they do things. And it can't come at a better time for us because this past Friday we had four starters out, and that was not because of anybody who we were playing. It's because they were truly injured. And so this bye week is a perfect timing for us. We're truly going to try to rest as much as we can. I'm going to do less practice this week than I ever have on any bye week. So we're going to practice Wednesday, Thursday, you know, lift hard a couple days and get our rehab guys as much as they can. Kind of giving them off Monday, Tuesday, Friday, right after school, you know, any kind of academic help or just rehab or just truly kind of rest up. Cause obviously the next bye week is when the season's over with. And so we got to get back healthy.
All right. So let's go to the make that kid an offer question for you. And, you know, with all of the change that you've had this year, who would fit in that senior class of yours for make that kid an offer for not getting enough looks, not getting any looks, not getting the looks you think they should deserve? Who would be an MTKAO for you?
Great question. Probably our running back, Deshaun Brown. You know, he had one in the spring, but he should have a lot more than that. I mean, going into the Richmond Hill game, he was a second leading rusher in the region. I think that's where he stayed because Richmond Hill's guys was up first, and he had a really good game against us. But you know, I think Deshaun's 1,200 or 1,100 yards ish. That's probably the number one for us. I also think our kicker, Brett Fitzgerald, he just got to West Georgia, but I think he should have more too, you know, setting all
the kicking Fitzgerald family, of course.
Yes, they're amazing.
There is no doubt. So those two are the biggest ones that come to mind. And obviously we have a couple more, but hopefully the longer we play, the more eyes can be on them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the plan. Well, Coach, thanks so much for taking time out of your very busy bye week, your restful week.
The restful week.
And we hope to be talking to you really soon.
Absolutely. Thank y'all for having me as always. Go Pack.
Always great to catch up with our friends down there in Moultrie. And by the way, food-wise, and I will say this from personal experience, if you're into barbecue, Joe Kem, K-E-M. And what I do when I go down to Moultrie is I will go and find their barbecue sauce, and I will bring it back up to Atlanta.
Ooh,
and have it in the fridge.
That.
Yeah, so
I'm
Joe Kem, Joe Kem's barbecue is where that's where I start. That's my knowledge base for everything in Moultrie. Okay, so it's time to go through what happened with everybody this past week.
Okay.
And as I turn, all right, it was another rough week for us. James' Central Macon lost to Blackley County. Ambassador Jeremy's Darlington lost to Bremen. Decatur. Commander Sandy's Decatur. She's not here. She was the only one of us that won.
Oh, man.
So Decatur gets a win. Oh, actually, I take that back. Parkview beat Meadow Creek.
Oh.
So Parkview gets a win.
Go Jake this night.
So you have that as a win. And then Lassiter loses to River Ridge, and Lakeside lost to Woodward Academy. So there we go. That's the wins and losses. And so I think it was a 50-50 week for us here with the wins and losses of the alums and the alumnas. So there you go. We got a new friend.
My stomach won't stop growling.
This is what happens when we have all this food. She's trying to answer a question. And then she hits the mute button.
I had to turn my mic off because my stomach is growling.
All of this
so
food conversation
loud.
Is making her hungry. So this is where we are. This is where our priorities are.
I meant to say,
are.
What is it with the mic on? But my mic was off because my stomach is growling.
Okay. So, all right. We have a new friend. And this is from our friend Jason Rockmore, the head coach at Towns County up in Hiawassee.
Okay.
And so we have
from our friends
at Towns County High School. They had a 5-4 season. I think they were trying to figure out if they could make up a game.
It's a helmet, by the way.
That it is a helmet, yes. It is the blue matte TC right there. So the blue matte TC.
Zoom in on it.
Oh, we're going to zoom
there
in on it.
There we go.
So this is from our friends up at Towns County High School. They finished the season 5-4. And so that is this is going to be added to the set. Mm-hmm. And if you would like your school, if it is not represented, and you get the chance in 2 weeks to start seeing what the sets look like for our post-game show, if you don't see your helmet, let us know, and we will add your helmet to the stacks. And this is an offensive lineman helmet, too, a 61.
I never got a Lassiter helmet. Did you ever get a Lakeside helmet?
No, I did not. We need to catch up with your friend with your friend Coach Starr about getting that. So, Towns County. And we also have something for Hannah to add to the wardrobe.
Oh, okay.
This.
Ooh, it's pink.
Yes, it is.
Wow, this is the first pink T-shirt you ever got
so
me.
So here's your Towns County T-shirt for Hannah.
Okay, zoom in. For people just listening, describe it, John.
Pink T-shirt with the Towns County logo with the
breast cancer,
the football laces over the top, mm-hmm. and a breast cancer awareness T-shirt
the
from
ribbon.
Our friends up there in Hiawassee.
I love that.
And on the back, it is the acronym for our friends at Towns County, OSAT, One Speed All the Time.
Oh, I love this.
And so this goes to Hannah to add to her stacks.
Great. Thank you. This is like hot pink.
Yes.
Like hot pink.
Yes.
Thank you, John.
Yes. So there we go. So, all right, so we got a game this Friday.
We have a game this Friday. If you missed the beginning of the podcast and somehow, you know, are just starting to listen, Carver Atlanta at Hateful Charter, 7:30 p.m. on GPB. There goes my stomach again. So sorry, everybody. No web game. So everybody watch the TV game mm-hmm. if you are not in front of a TV. GPB.org/sports, GPB Sports app mm-hmm. on your phone.
Yep. The YouTubes.
The YouTubes, the Facebooks.
Yes.
We are everywhere. Yes, hey, and flag football is in full swing.
Yes.
This Thursday, November 7th, there is a trio of games that is streaming live on GPB Sports as well. River Ridge, Pope, and Creekview all play each other. And we're going to try to hunt down a flag football coach for an upcoming podcast to kind of talk about that season and what's going on, because girls flag football is amazing.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And so before we get out of here, as we turn once again...
Yes.
It is time to get the words of wisdom from Marky Mark. And they carry a variety of topics, from stretching to not stretching to stretching to food. No, it has been this year. It's been stretching, not stretching, variety of topics, food, all the above, what to think heading into the week that is going to be. Mm-hmm. So, Marky Mark, what is on your mind this week that you wish to impart your wisdom with when it comes to the listeners and viewers here with the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast?
Well, John, sometimes it's hard to have serious discussions with friends about difficulties going on, what's going on in life. And I'm actually sorry to say this. I actually need to have one with you right now, John.
Oh?
So I hate to say this. In like the staff whip arounds, mm-hmm. like where you tell us.
Yeah.
I think you've been getting my school confused with Jake's.
No, I know. Jake the Snake. Well, so that's the thing. It's like, so Jake the Snake is a Parkview. So I thought you were out of state and we had to research that every week.
Oh, no. I'm from Pickens up in the mountains.
Oh, the Pickens Dragons.
Wait, how did we not know this? This is not on the list?
No, this was not on the list.
Oh,
So the Pickens Dragons and our buddy Craig Bennett, who is the new head coach up there. So please update to the
I have.
Okay,
have
so, so you have the Pickens update? Or just find out what...
like, yes, I do.
Oh, there you go. So win-loss record for Pickens. Go for it.
Pickens High School in Jasper, Georgia.
Correct.
They are 5-5.
All right.
3-4 in region play. They are in Region 6 AAA.
Correct.
And
oh, it was a tough one last week.
Lost 29-26 against Lumpkin County.
Yeah, we know about Lumpkin County and what goes on up there. But yes, the Pickens Dragons and their new head coach, Craig Bennett, doing so did they make the postseason, I guess is my first question.
Well,
I would just like to chime in to say that it's awful brave to stand up, you know, to people and be like, hey, you got something wrong. Like, that's a difficult thing for persons to do in work situations and family situations. And to be like, hey, John,
I don't know
you
if it was so much wrong.
Me.
I think we just forgot to add his school.
Okay, I mean,
I don't know. That kind of hurts more. They forgot. That's what's going on. I mean, truly, my feelings.
You are forgotten.
Wow.
Oh, my God, Hannah. This was worse than John. Why are you rubbing it in right now?
Wow.
Mark, I'm proud of you for standing amazing. Up to John and Hannah.
I'm glad you encouraged me on this. Thank you,
That's
Jeremy.
That's tremendous.
Yeah. Way to go.
But now
Way
that we
go.
Know that the green-clad Pickens Dragons with the diamond the,
now
di-
we're never
the
gonna
diamond
forget.
P of the Pickens Dragons that is a part of this process. Mm. And Chris Parker was the head coach there, and now it's Craig Bennett. So we know now that we know that the Pickens Dragons have to be added to the mix, we now know. So what else is on your mind, sir? Is there any other topics on your mind other than making sure you hit?
I think he's exhausted now.
No.
From coming out and telling us all of this.
Trust me, I always have more words.
Okay. Great.
No. Me and King James back here had a discussion about wine, and I went to a few wineries this weekend. It was quite nice.
That's got to go that way because they can't go to me because I do not partake in alcoholic beverages.
Ooh, Hannah, you need to go to some in Dahlonega. They're genuinely incredible.
I've been.
Oh, all right. Any in particular? I'm actually curious.
Unimountain, right? The Unawinery?
You're talking to a guy that doesn't drink wine. You'd have to ask the boss. I partake in no alcohol, so that is
Yona. I'm so sorry, forgive me. Yona Mountain Vineyard is incredible in Dahlonega. I have been there.
Huh, I'll need to check that one out. There was one we went to called I think the name was Dog Wobble.
Okay.
Like genuinely incredible. Incredible service as well, but yes.
If you are so inclined as someone
favorite,
who listens to public
my
broadcasting.
My favorite is Wolf Mountain.
Ooh.
Wolf Mountain.
You need to give me a list sometime, but that's really my words of wisdom. Like, sometimes it's hard to have difficult conversations and enjoy some wine occasionally.
See, there you go. There's nothing wrong with difficult conversations, especially if they have to be had. Okay, so here's the deal. All of the GPBs have the one game. One of seven region championships still to be decided here in the state of Georgia. This one is a head-to-head matchup that will determine the ones and the twos. Probably going to be talking brackets the whole time. GPB, GPB.org, GPB Sports app, all the social medias and all the other medias that are available, all of our channels that are across the board will be having this game and we'll be talking about everything. For the last week of the regular season, there's like 25% of the schedule, a normal schedule that's going to be played on this week. Last thoughts before we get out of here. Other than Hannah needs to go eat.
Just going to mute myself again.
So Hannah's muting herself because her stomach's growling, so that means that we got to go. So for Marky Mark, for Ambassador Jeremy, for King James, for Commander Sandy, for Hannah, who's hungry, I'm just John. Thanks for dropping by here once again for the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Play it safe, everybody. Enjoy the games. All stars next week.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.